Father, I thank you that you have been so kind to us that we do not have to be confused about your character. You have given us your word, inspired by your spirit, to be recorded for us so that we can know who you are. Lord Jesus, that it shows us who you are. Lord Jesus, that it points to you and that our faith can be in you. And that you are the one in whose presence there is fullness of joy, and you say you are with us to the end of the age. And so this morning I pray that what you have been doing, what you have been speaking, I submit this word that it would be in line with that. Lord, I pray that it would build up, confront, correct, encourage. Lord, where maybe we are closing our eyes, that we would open them to see. And that we would be maybe comforted in knowing this is the direction. And whatever that is, Holy Spirit, I know you are the one ministering and that you will take the words and make them do what you want them to do. And I pray that that would be the fruit of your ministry. And I submit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got good news for you this morning. When I was just going through my notes, the Lord told me that he's cutting this sermon in half. So I did the slides a week before that. So this should actually be Daily Bread Part 1. And then maybe next week will be Daily Bread Part 2. So I'm excited to share this word because it's not the one I wanted to share. I actually had the part two is actually what I really like to talk about, and part one is not what I prefer to talk about. So I feel like we're going to go where I don't always like to go. But let's review. Let's review. Are we in the Lord's Prayer? We're in Matthew 6. Just to take a bird's eye view of what we've been speaking about that the Lord has been taking us through is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So previously we looked at Father. We start with this prayer, this conversation with God. We start in this place of identity. You need to start this conversation. It does not go beyond before you have experienced the adoption by putting your trust in what Christ has done, that we are adopted as sons and daughters. In our conversation with God, it starts every time, Father, our Father. In heaven, hallowed be your name. Speaking of our purpose, hallowed is the destination. His name being glorified in all things now and to eternity. There is one purpose, and that is the glory of his name. All of it comes in line with that. Yes, Christ died for us to save us so that his name can be glorified. Right? It all points to hallowed be your name. And so we then get these practical things. What does this mean? Well, it's your kingdom come. What is this gospel that we ought to proclaim? It's not eating and drinking. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We've been unpacking this. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We were there last week just touching on what is God's preferred will. Whilst his kingdom must come. Right? What is his preferred will for that kingdom to come? How does the gospel being proclaimed look like the gospel lived in our lives? Because your will be done is about personal righteousness being lived out. It's about public confession, public statement of faith. It is about loving your brother and your sister who may be going on a wayward path. It is about proclaiming to the unsaved, your will be done. This is the gospel lived out. And now we are here at, give us this day our daily bread. And I wanted to just jump ahead to the spiritual implications of this, because such a lot of mess that is made in church about daily bread. But let's preach the word. Let's trust that the word will speak to us and that we would come in line with it. So I want to look today at almost the idea, bread in the wilderness. Give us this day our daily bread in this conversation with our Father. Why is this part of the Lord's Prayer? And so for a long time, I was encouraged when I found in the preparation, I found that I'm not alone in wanting to jump to just let's just spiritualize this. Because for a long time, the early church, let's call them the church fathers, not the first generation, the second or third generation, they would only give this a spiritual meaning, you know, talking about Jesus and the bread of heaven. And we're going to get there, just not today. Because they were like, okay, if it's talking about his kingdom come, his will be done, how can it talk about now my need? It just sounds like you've suddenly been ricked out of where we were going. But the truth of the matter is, give us this day our daily bread is about your need. It's about both. It's about your physical need and your spiritual need. And so we need to, so today we're going to look at physical need. We're going to look at give us this day our daily bread, not to forget that God is highly practical and highly involved and he's interested in all the detail of our lives and especially our daily lives. And so I want to take us through some scripture just to navigate this in a healthy way, to navigate this in what I would trust to be a biblical way. So let's go to Exodus. I think I've got Exodus in the slide. Exodus 16 verse 4 is where we have the Israelites have gone through the Red Sea and they are now moaning about hunger. They have a need. And this is the Lord that then speaks. And he says to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they walk in my law or not. So if we hear Jesus' teaching, his command on how to pray, how to engage with the Father about daily bread, we go back to this hearing of you know, if we put on our ears to hear a little bit like the Jews, daily bread would have a reference to the wilderness journey. And so immediately it speaks to us about our place in this life. We are on a wilderness journey. We have not entered the promised land, right? We are passing through. Daily bread is needed for us to get to where we are going. And it starts here in Exodus 16, and the Lord makes a very interesting statement. He says, I'll give bread from heaven. I'll rain it down. I'll give it. But this is what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to test them to see if they will follow me, if they will walk in my law. And his law represents his way. Salala wandel soos wat ek wil hê hulle moet wandel. He will test us with bread is the idea that comes here. And so we encourage Christ in giving this teaching on prayer and the conversation we ought to have daily. He comes and he says, you should pray. Father, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what they were supposed to do. Daily go and collect the bread that he had given from heaven. What happened, though? We know what happened with the Israelites, right? What happened on the first day that the Lord did this? They got tomorrow's bread as well. And what happened to that? It was a bit funky. Yeah? Went a bit funky, and they learned to walk in obedience again. And the Lord was very... I would say he was disappointed, but he knew it was going to happen. And so he was like, no. And so when Jesus comes, he says, again, you are to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. What does he mean? It's interesting, though, that when Jesus teaches this, the word daily is only used, that this daily bread is only used once. Well, it's used here, and it's used in the Lord's Prayer in Luke as well. And it means, give us what is appropriate to what is coming on or happening. It is literally bread that fits or meets the unique demands of the coming day. It's not just talking about physical bread. It's not, God is not a minimalist that is like, you must live off only bread because, well, France is gluten intolerant. Well, she can't eat gluten, so there will be a problem for her to try and be biblical here. Where's the Banting people? It's not talking about now you got to eat bread. Okay, it's talking about need. It's talking about and need for the day, right? There's a need for the day. And the Lord is not stingy. Right? He's generous. Didn't give some of Jesus. Gave all of Jesus. Right? But here we come to this question, like, I have needs, but then I have things that I call needs that are not needs. And so we have this, we have a lot of teaching that goes on about what the Lord supposedly owes us. God does not owe you anything. Okay? He has given everything already in Christ Jesus that you need. And in fact, earlier in this chapter, Jesus says, do not be like the Gentiles, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So he knows what you need, and he says here, you are supposed to pray for your daily bread, the unique demands of the day. And so we want to take this a bit far, and so we have to bring this into balance. We have to bring this into perspective. How do we balance this idea? Give us this day our daily bread. Right? With what we see in the world, with the pursuit of things that's going on around us. And unfortunately, a lot of it is pursued within church as well. And this is why I really don't like preaching on physical needs and stuff, because I'm just like, oh, Here, wat het ons gedoen? But this is the truth. We are to ask for our daily bread, for our provision for the demands of the coming day. And that changes according to context. That changes according to culture. You know, in there was a time in the time of Rome where certain citizens were given daily bread for free. It was like the first dole system, right? That had already been in place almost 100 years when Jesus is teaching this. But he's not teaching about the Roman idea. He's talking about God's principles according to God's examples and his word. And he's taking us to Leviticus. But let me gather myself here. There is a wrong way to ask for bread. James 4 verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Give us this day our daily bread. Can get twisted and gets twisted, unfortunately, in what is sometimes paraded as a gospel. It's not the gospel. The prosperity gospel is not the gospel. It is a false gospel. Let me make that clear. So daily bread here is not talking about health, wealth, and world fame for Jesus. Okay. What is it talking about? Because James says there's a way that you ask amiss because, let me unpack that first. There's a way that you ask that is amiss because you want to spend it on your passions. You spend it on your desires, on your coveting. Jesus says, beware of every form of covetousness, for life does not consist in the abundance of things. What is covetousness? It's not a need I have. It's if I have that, then I will have life. If we covet things, we covet my neighbor's car, my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's property, we are saying that is actually my God. If I have that, I will be happy, I will be fruitful, I will be involved. And so James, who's not confused about daily bread and provision, encourages us to not ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And in fact, Paul in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 to 10, I'm just giving us a little overview of what's Jesus talking about, how do we balance these things. Paul writes, he says, but those who desire, they have the passion to be rich, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Are you encouraged yet to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread? We are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Just keep in mind what you're asking for. Keep in mind what you're pursuing. John in 1 John gives us this incredible guidance, which I think is overlooked so often. We think that the only test for a false prophet is, does he confess that Jesus came in the flesh? It's not all that John writes. John writes a very troubling thing. Speaking of false prophets and false teaching and false preaching, and go and test what I say against this. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. What has John earlier in the letter, he has said what he's talking about when he speaks of the world? The world is in pursuit of something. The spirit of the world is in pursuit of the desires of the flesh. Yeah. It's in 1 John 2. The desires of the eyes and the pride of life. If I minister to you to encourage that desire, that is a worldly pursuit. If I am ministering, if I'm preaching to you that we are to be healthy and wealthy and world famous for Jesus, I am preaching what the world wants to hear. This is what the world wants to hear. In 1 John 2, he goes further and says, but those who do the will of God, those who do the will of God will live forever. I'm summarizing. And so here in this part of prayer, Jesus is asking us to examine ourselves in our conversation with God. Examine what we are saying is a need, a desire, maybe it is a coveting. Examine what it is actually about. Examine what we are pursuing. Because if we are pursuing what the world is pursuing, that passes away. And there may be some trouble along the way if you are pursuing that. It's what Paul makes clear in chapter 6 there. You may end up wandering into a place you do not want to be. Man, I really wanted to preach the other sermon. It was so much more encouraging. So quiet here this morning. In this prayer, there is the same qualification because Jesus is saying to us, listen, when you pray about a need, it's okay. God cares about your needs. God wants to be your provider. He has a plan to provide for you. You are allowed, you are encouraged, you are, you can say, commanded to pray, give us. But here's the thing, it's give us. Give us. When I'm bringing my needs to the Lord, what is my perspective on them? Is it about me and my, what is it called? Me and my blessing? Me and my whatever. No, it's about us. It's about us as a community. Your provision may be your brother's bread, is what he's saying here. Your success may be your brother's bread for today. And we are to have this perspective that we are part of a body, we are part of a family, that we are to pray daily for God to provide what we need for the needs of the day It is what we are commanded to do. And in that, there may be something granted to you that is actually for your brother or your sister. Does that make sense to you? Give us, God grant to us that which is necessary for today. It includes what may be necessary for my neighbor. That's what I read here. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to jump to 2 Corinthians 8. It's going to be a very short sermon this morning because it was only supposed to be half of the sermon and it's not going to be up there. Just to bring this into balance again. Bring this into balance. Just to give us a perspective here. 2 Corinthians 8. Maybe you can put it up, Dimitri, from verse 7. Paul writes and he says, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you," and it includes in your love for us, "see that you excel in this act of grace also," and he's talking about giving. He says, "I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." What was your poverty? What was the debt that you were impoverished by? It's not a physical debt. It may have played out somewhat like that. It's your unrighteousness. It's your unrighteousness, your debt owed to God who is just and must be approached in holiness and righteousness. And so Christ, who is holy and righteous, comes from heaven to earth physically, impoverishes himself to the point of death on our cross. That is his throne. And so that's what Paul is putting in perspective here when we are praying about daily bread and giving generously and these things that get twisted, these, because this is what he said, "For his sake, yet for your sake he became poor so that you by his poverty might become rich." And you're like, "Well, there it is, Craig." I'm like, "No, that's not what it's talking about. In this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you. A year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." Are you hearing this? "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need. My daily bread may be more than enough for me, so it may require me to give it to my brother. So that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness." And Paul is making it very clear here that it is in the context of what Christ has come and given for what we have done, that we are once again tasked to be generous and in our prayers for "give us this day our daily bread." If we are to receive bread, we are to ask, how does this bread fit into need for me, need for my neighbor, need for someone else? This is what we are encouraged to do, because it is not a "give me my daily bread." It's "give us." Give us our daily bread. You know, I like that we get together here. It's very convenient. So we get together here on a Sunday. It's nice. But this isn't church. This is a gathering of a part of the church in this region at this premises. And this is practical for us on a Sunday. We have other needs, though, as well. And I'm grateful for everyone that gives to our bank accounts and things, and so we can do things. But, you know, the Lord has been revealing more need for us. This isn't a plea for money. I'm saying the Lord has given us, he has opened for us certain of the hearts of our children in Children's Church and shown us the need, shown us their desperation, That's why I gave such an innings to Strauss about the world needs a father. We have been drawn to counsel these children. We have marriages within our body that desperately need counseling. We have so much of that need. We don't have premises to do that. So I'm praying, Lord, give us bread. There's a need. You've opened the need to us. Give us a place where we can do a counseling without having to do a heck of a lot of admin. Okay? It's nice. I want you to understand what I'm praying about, what I'm saying when I say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I'm praying, Lord, this is the body. You have opened this need for us. There is we can't walk away from brokenness, but we actually can't reach a lot of it. There are families in our community, in this part of the body, that are in such need that, you know, we can't, with whatever is given to this part of the body, it's great. We can do things like rent the premises to come here, but we don't have sufficient to supply needs. And I know we must work with wisdom and understanding, but we have to speak to Amanus. Great, we're glad that they have a much bigger bank account. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord has drawn us to one another, and there is a need. There's a need, and we are not able to meet it. Why would the Lord reveal to us a need if he does not want to meet it? So I am speaking to us as a house. If you're here as a visitor, I apologize. I'm usually more ordered than this. But I'm speaking to us as a house and to say, listen, if we're going to pray like the Lord asks us to pray, if we're going to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, do you understand that there are people who need that bread? There are children who need that bread, who need that counseling, who need that space where they can encounter a real father and a real mother. Do you understand that if we are going to pray, God, give us this daily bread, we are going to come across more and more need, more and more. So no, I do not have tolerance for I want to be healthy, wealthy, and world famous for Jesus. Because there is a need. And it is far greater than me and you. There is a need that we can't afford. We can't afford to be stuck with, I'm okay, I will make it on my own. I'm finished. Will you stand with me? We have a bank account called the BodyServe bank account. I want to rename it. I probably have to get official things from head office to do this. I want to call it the building fund because I don't care for a building fund. We have broken vessels. We have broken people. Look around you. We're all broken. Look around you. Look. We all needed him to become poor for us. Every one of us needed him to become poor for us. So I want to encourage us as we in this week, as we pray, Father, give us the daily bread we need for what you have. Open up what you are showing us, what you are putting in front of our eyes, and as we have eyes to see, that we would ask the question, Lord, this isn't just money. I was looking at my friend this morning in intercession. I was looking out the window. This is practical discipleship. It's not a program we run. I was looking at my friend. He was busy discipling my son and his son and your son in the cricket nets. This is not about money. This is about the fact that we are a community and there is a need. There is a need for fathers. There is a need for us to step in to say, Lord, what have you given us? What is in my hand? Is this for me? If it's bread for you, eat it. By all means, please, because this is a race we are running. If you're going to be fasting on the race, you're going to fall over. But then there is also given to each one of us a gift. He has a gift. He can engage with these lighties. He has the patience to continue to bowl and to fetch that ball. And I watched it went through the nets a few times. And each one of us has been given something. Something that is bread. If you hold on to that bread, what is it going to do? It's going to mold. We're going to give account for moldy bread. Not me. All of us. All of us will give account for moldy bread. Because the Lord has shown us. He has opened a little bit. Shown us. This is what the need is. Not just the other person's need. Your own need. Your bread may be with your neighbor. Your marriage. The need in your marriage may be with someone else in this church to help you. But we need to come. We need to come and surrender that and give that, to give that over. I'll preach next week. I want us to respond. Lord, let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you that we can come in this place. Lord Jesus, you say, you know what our need is physically. You know what our passions are, our coveting is. You know how to help us to repent from that, to turn away from that. Lord, but we are here, we are a body, and each one is a gift to this part of the body. Each one here has a purpose, has a piece of bread to share. And Lord, as we want to see your name hallowed, as we want to see your kingdom come, as we want to see your will be done, we want to submit every piece of bread you give us and say, Lord, this is for us. What does it mean for me and my family? What does it mean for my neighbor? And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower us to walk that out, to walk out that obedience, to say, well, if this is for that, then here it is. It is not mine, it is ours. It is for the kingdom, it is for your will. It is not for my glory and for my esteem. And as we go from this place, Lord, I pray that we would not just have an encounter here, Lord, that we would have an encounter every day this week that speaks to meeting of needs. And what you have given us, that it is enough. Lord Jesus, I thank you that though you were rich, you became poor for our sake, so that in you we can become rich. We can receive on this journey, in this wilderness, as we are not there yet, that we can receive daily from your hand what is needed for us and for our neighbor. Yeah, I want to give us just an opportunity where maybe we have covered what is actually the way of the world, just to bring that before the Lord. Where we have coveted, where we have passions and gathered for ourselves, Lord, that we can come just in this moment, we can bring that all before you, put it all on the table. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that we would hear what you want us to do with what you have entrusted to us for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. I should close the service. Let me pray. The Lord bless you. Lord, keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And as you know the Lord's face is turned towards you, I pray that you would turn your face towards your neighbor in his need. And love not just within word, but in deed. In Jesus' name. Amen. See some of you next week.